Speak up. Up. Speak. Speak. Up. Speak. Up. Speak. Up. 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 Speak. Speak. Up. Up. Speak up. Speak up.
Speak up.
Speak. Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, broadcasting on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Coetzee, and Kwikwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, here broadcasting you from Studio A up at Burnaby Mountain, our radio station on the campus of Simon Fraser University. You can find more of our programs at cjsf.ca, and also more information about CJSF if you want to get involved, because we are a volunteer-run organization. I mentioned my name is Jesse. I'm the spoken word public affairs coordinator here at the station. And this morning I am bringing you a mix of some talk programming produced by a couple folks we have working slash interning here at the radio station, Kiana and Hannah. We've got a short interview compilation from Hannah about what people's impressions of Vancouver are from people who are not from Vancouver. That was a very convoluted way of saying that, but she interviewed her roommates who are not from Canada, not from Vancouver, about the city of Vancouver and their impressions. And then Kiana is going to have an interview with Susan O'Brien, who is, as well as Giovanna Labeya, the director and writer of a film which is playing at the Vancouver Queer Film Festival called When We Arrive as Flowers. We'll have more information about all of that and give you some proper introductions, but we're going to start with a little bit of music to get things going. And it is going to be the local act called OK Vancouver OK. With a name like that, you'd kind of assume they'd have to be from here, but you never know. They are. This band is one of my introductions to Vancouver's sort of independent, very independent lo-fi scene. And they've just been cranking out records pretty much yearly or even more since I can remember, since pre-2010. So the newest one is called Outside Computer, and this track from that record is also called Outside Computer 1 here on Speak Up.
Outside computer.
Outside Computer 1 by OK Vancouver OK from the new record Outside Computer. You can find it on Bandcamp. My name is Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're going to get into our first talk segment of the day. And this is from Hannah Schlunder, who is interning with us currently here at CJSF from Germany. She interviewed some of her roommates about Vancouver, and you're going to hear that right now.
Hello, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Barnaby. My name is Hannah, and today I'm going to ask people who are not from Vancouver what they think about the city.
Hi, my name is Sim. I'm 18 years old, and I'm doing an internship for 8 weeks in Canada. Yeah, when I arrived, I just saw outside the window huge mountains with snow and a big city, so I was very surprised. Yeah, I really like about Canada and Vancouver. Everybody is happy, and there are so many galleries where you can see so many different pieces of art. And yeah, furthermore, there are so many different museums, so it's a lot of culture and you can see. Furthermore, the combination between a huge city and the nature, yeah, is very nice. So you can experience the life in a big city, but nevertheless, enjoy the nature. Just going outside, it's basically on your doorstep. What else? There are some things I don't like at all. Yeah, maybe Hastings Street. It's kind of different going out there, and yeah, it's better if you stay away, so it's the only area.
Hey, my name is Aaron. I'm 21 years old, and I'm from Germany. I'm currently in Vancouver to do a work and travel year. When I first came to Vancouver, I was very impressed by how many parks there are in the city. We don't have that in Germany. I really like all the plants on top of the high buildings. And I believe that urban gardening is key to a healthy city and should be adapted all around the world, especially in Germany.
Hi, my name is Claudia. I'm from Chile. And I come to Vancouver to study English, and then I will go to college. The thing that I love most of Vancouver is the fact that it's surrounded by nature. On the other hand, a thing that I don't like is the unstable weather.
Hello, my name is Samuel. I'm from Brazil. I'm 20 years old, and I'm here in Vancouver for 6 months to study English. And my first impression when I got here, it's really different from where I'm from. The downtown of Vancouver, it's really lots of modern buildings with the architecture is just quite impressive for me. There's a lot of trees everywhere. The way the city can mix the modern world with the nature, I think it's one of the best qualities I found it here. And yeah, mostly that's it. And met a lot of new people from different places and with different cultures. It's just been a wonderful experience until now. And yeah.
Hi, my name is Breno. I'm from Brazil, and I've been studying in Vancouver for 10 months now. I enjoy here a lot. I think I like how the city is very connected to the nature, and everyone here seems to enjoy it a lot, and they seem to be very active, and they enjoy going to hikes and going to the mountains and everything. I really like that. The only thing I don't like much about Vancouver is the weather, because here it rains a lot. However, during the summer it's better since there's no rain like every day. But in the overall, I really enjoy here, and I think it's a very beautiful city.
Thank you to Hannah for that interview, that series of interview clips. Always interesting to hear what people from outside of the greater Vancouver area think of the city, and to be reminded of the nice things about here and the reasons that people come here. You know, having lived here for quite some time, it's very easy to take it all for granted. You know, I generally not a huge fan of the architecture here in Vancouver because I think there's too much glass. But for someone who comes from elsewhere and is not used to a city looking like Vancouver, it's a breath of fresh air. So always nice to be reminded of those little things. Anyway, this is Speak Up on CJSF. I'm Jesse. And up next is more local music from another one of the foundational bands of my love of Vancouver music. This is Apollo Ghosts, who just put out their new record, Pink Tiger, and it's called OK Soda.
Studios presents Humankind at the Fox Cabaret, Friday, August 12th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Music by Prado, Kylie V, and Miguel Maravilla. Come support three amazing local acts, and your participation will raise funds to create subsidized and zero-cost studio time for marginalized groups and communities. Humankind, this Friday, August 12th at 7 p.m., Fox Cabaret.
Definitely go check out that event at the Fox Cabaret. Love Prado, love Miguel Maravilla. Just all around great stuff. Friday at the Fox Cabaret. I live like three blocks away, so I have no excuse. I have to go. It's been tough to get myself to go back out to shows, despite how much I love local music. It's I've still got that pandemic instinct to avoid crowds and. I went out to a big comedy show last night, so I guess my excuses are dwindling. If I can handle being in the Queen Elizabeth Theater with however many thousand people, I can probably handle being in the Fox with 100, right? I think so. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. You can find us online at cjsf.ca, either to stream live or to find past episodes of this program and others. Up next is going to be an interview that CJSF summer hire Kiana Mortensen did with Susan O'Brien and Giovanna Labeya, the filmmaker and writer, respectively, of the poetry and the dancer choreographer for the short film When We Arrive as Flowers, which is being showcased in the Vancouver Queer Film Festival in the programming category of In the Morning. That's Morning with a U, Morning, which looks at the intersections between the grief and the joy that trans people experience. So Thank you to Kiana for putting this together, and we will let you listen to it. We'll listen to it together, and we'll be back to chat about it in about half an hour.
Do you both want to give a little introduction of yourselves?
Sure, sure. Again, my name is Diavana Labeja. I'm a choreographer, artist, and all-around bad bitch located in Brooklyn. I have been choreographing for at least 6 years at this point professionally. I've been in New York for over 10 years and a member of the Labeja House for about 3 years at this point. Most of my work includes my choreography, teaching as a dancer and a choreographer, my work in the LGBTQ community through the House of Labeja, and most recently, really collaborating within the New York City creative community to do projects like this. So yeah, take it away.
How can I compete with that? Okay, my name is Susan O'Brien, and I'm a director, also a bad bitch, and an art director, burlesque performer. I do it all. Also located in New York City and LA as well, and just have a mission of making beautiful art and celebrating people.
Amazing. Amazing introductions. Thank you so much. Yeah, so When We Arrive as Flowers is a short film, and so much, it feels like it's like an entire film, because it literally does have like a plot in the way that the story is told, and then the way that the music underlines what Diavana is saying, and then is there like a cool story on how you guys met and how you started like working on this?
There's an incredible story about this, actually. So fun facts, me and Susie met over 10 years ago at this point. were we both undergrad at SCAD when we met?
Yes.
We're both newly in SCAD in Savannah, Georgia, met under the guise of like a dance team. So similar passions for dance, movement, and art. I knew right away upon meeting her through a mutual friend that she was also a filmmaker and studying film. That's why she was there. Life happens, da-da-da. I left Savannah, and we reconnect 10 years later at another mutual friend's barbecue, which is when we started talking about like, oh, hey, I have an idea for a film. I have choreography made for it. I have certain ideas about what I want to write, but visually the world doesn't exist in my head yet. Would love to collaborate with you. And Susie worked her magic on it, tapped some other people that worked their magic on it. And boom, here we are a year later. And the very tiny seed that I did not expect to grow into something as impactful and as impressive has grown, and I couldn't be happier to have worked with Susie on this.
Ditto. Yeah, I think that also when we sat down and finally had a conversation about the work that we wanted to create with one another, oddly enough, we both were looking at symbolism of flowers in our own lives. Like Diavana wanted to do a piece about the representation of a flower and growth and a garden. And I had written a children's book like 2 years prior that also was about representing memories as flowers. So it was just very succinct, unexpectedly. And so we were like, we should grow this together. There are going to be a lot of flower puns. I'm sorry. It's been like this for a year now.
Yes.
puns. I love it. That's so creative. You can make like a little book of flower puns. But yeah, so the film, it talks about parallels between, yeah, the earth, flowers, and then later on sort of the universe. But I guess you sort of answered it, but I was going to ask, like, was there a specific reason for the flowers? I know you sort of talked about growth, but Diavana, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
I am also an incredibly spiritually devout person. And in my spiritual practice, nature and just the adoration of and spiritual veneration of nature is very important. And personally, flowers, specifically wildflowers, are just very meaningful. A lot of the time that I spent over the pandemic, I spent on nature walks, collecting wildflowers. And as I own a small business, as a spiritualist, I make my own perfumes, things like that. I work very closely with flowers and herbs and plants just in my own spiritual practice. So I think I found that metaphor one that naturally occurred to me. And it served the purpose of telling a story of growth. In the written piece for the film, there's a line that says, or mentions, secret seeds. For me, my gender journey throughout my whole life really started with that secret seed. And I think in starting really with that tiny piece, I arrived at the full analogy and metaphor of this bouquet of flowers and embodying it.
Yeah. Did you write the whole thing alongside other people, but like it's your story? So like you, or did you just write, I wrote the whole thing.
It's my poetry. Yes.
Okay. I was going to ask. Yeah. So I actually just right before this, I was like, let me ask about the movement part, so you talked about the choreography and how you both dance and do that. But my original questions were centered around poetry, because I don't usually resonate so much with like film as much as I do with like poetry and music, which you have that part about I tried to dance away.
What do you think put music around your waist?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When did you start writing poetry?
I have been a writer my entire life. I think I've been a writer actually longer than I've been a dancer, though I also say that I've been a dancer my whole life. Those two art forms work very hand in hand for me. It really just depends on the idea that I want to express and how best I think it can be expressed, either through words or my body. I believe by the time that I started, like me and Susie really sat down to like punch out the concept and confirm her for the film, I think I had already started to write the beginnings of it. And then by the time we got down to filming and all of that, like it had already been written out fully. Poetry is something that comes very naturally to me. The voice that you hear in the film, the words that I choose, they're really just how I think in my head. And especially when I task myself with saying something that I want to be received and heard. I don't just want to say something to you that sounds pretty. I want it to sound pretty because I want you to remember what I said. So yeah, writing this piece was another joy in constructing the film, because again, the way my brain works visually, certain scenes and like even the animation that is in the film, none of that occurred to me. What I heard for this film was like the music. I knew what I wanted my body to be doing. And I knew that if I put pen to paper, I could write out the story of how I came to my own trans feminine, like realization, the rebirth and regrowth that has come since then, and just what all of that means in a best way possible, as poetically as I could put it. Writing, especially for this film, really was a natural and inherent part of the process.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like it was very natural, and you definitely have been doing it, because I know you said you want things to be remembered and not just them to sound nice, but it definitely was both. A lot of lines stuck and also sounded beautiful, but were memorable as well. But the illustration and the music, those were things I was curious about. I don't know if you could.
Yeah, with both, we worked with companies in London, actually. So we worked with an animator, Martha Halliday, in London on the illustrations. And originally when we were talking about this, we kind of already knew the sequences that we wanted to be played out in animation and things that were too fantastical to be done practically. Unfortunately, we can't shrink her and put her in a garden that is gigantic and have her bouncing on flowers. I wish that was the case. So we worked with Martha, and she really just brought her own perspective as well. And very, very happy with how the illustrations turned out. And then when it comes to the music, that was also something that before shooting, before any of that, we were working with a company called Dolce. And we reached out to them basically saying, this is our inspiration. This is the poem. Can you help us with sourcing music? And it was a lot of back and forth. And then we finally kind of got to a place where we're like, we like this piece. And then we were able to tie it all together. And then when we were filming, that's actually what Diavana was dancing to. So what you hear is basically what we had from the beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The switch in the music, like, that was definitely a plot driver, if you will. Like, it underlined the sort of switch from feelings and like the awakening. How long did it take to create like the whole thing?
I mean, we shot it in just a couple of days, right?
It was a bit of a long process with the post because of the music and the illustration, animation, and the VFX that we have in there. So it took a bit with that. But yeah, we filmed in October, and the genesis of this happened a year ago. So we get to finally celebrate it. It finally gets to be out into the world. The inter flower pun again here. It's blossoming.
The year anniversary. I don't know how if it's been in other film festivals, but obviously, like, being in, having a space for it in a queer film festival where it should be, and I feel like that's a place that other people are able to resonate.
I was familiar with the city. I was not aware of the queer film festival, but I think you're right in that I'm very happy that it's being shown at a queer film festival. I actually have a friend who is a part of the ballroom scene in Vancouver. He has started his own house up there. And so I do know that there's an active queer community up in Vancouver. And what's important for me about this film is that, one, it is seen by people who can relate to the story because it is a part of their lived experience, or maybe a part of the lived experience of someone they know. What's also important to me about this film is that, especially in writing the film or in writing the piece, I wanted for the experiences that women of trans experience go through in our lives to be communicated to people who are not trans and understood, because so much of the trans journey, from the realization of it to the acceptance and then allowing that to come out of you, is the same exact journey of getting to know oneself that a non-trans person, a cis person would experience. It's all a developing of like, oh, wait, who am I? Who am I? You know, what is my place in the world? How do I want to be perceived? What makes me feel best? how do I want to be addressed and spoken to? What is respect to me? How do I love on myself the best? All of these themes, all of these questions are poured into what it means to be trans. It's just, you know, the process is individual for every single person. And so in being seen at queer film festivals, I'm very excited for the film to be seen by both halves of that coin, that people are going to get a chance to see it and appreciate it because it's something like, wow, this is my story. And also, wow, this is my story. And I didn't even know it. I didn't know that someone who's nothing like me, especially as a Black trans woman, we are the most marginalized and ostracized community almost by far, you know, especially in this country. And so when someone is able to relate to what I'm talking about and be like, oh, that is also a lived experience of mine, I think it really does some work in bridging the gap between what is like a real cognitive schism between people's ability to understand like what being trans is.
Yeah. You perfectly just described why it's an important piece to you. I was going to ask, what is the importance of the piece to you in writing it and it coming to life and maybe you seeing it for the first time or yeah.
Yeah. I am incredibly confident in my ability and training and knowledge and passion as an artist. But personally, especially as a Black trans woman in America, there's always something in the back of my head that is like, oh, I have a lot working against me. So in the making of this film, it was an absolute joy and honor to work with other women who are dedicating themselves to telling the stories of people who might otherwise go unheard. And especially because of the labor that they poured into this film, it has turned into what it is. I would not have been able to turn this film into what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, and just is being received as without Susie and the executive producers on this film, period. You know, I'm 29, just turned 29, July 26th. But in trans years, I'm only like 3 years old. And being able to look back at a film that I made in what was like the very, very beginning stages of just growing as a trans person, starting medical hormones and all of that, it's incredibly like precious to me to have a physical reminder of like, this is where you were in this point of your life. This is what you thought. This is what you felt. This is what you looked like. Because especially for Black trans women, proof of existence is very important. Photos, videos, audio files that confirm like I was here and this is the mark that I made. So it's incredibly poignant for me just to produce this work because it means so much to me, and I think it means a lot to me to give back to the community that I'm a part of by saying, like, here is this piece of myself, here's this testimony of who I am and what I come from, and I hope people appreciate it.
I definitely think, like, as I was watching it, like, for the first few times, I was like, the lighting and editing underlined the choreography and then like the music underlined the words sort of
serve the story. And I think that's the most important thing for me as a filmmaker is to be there to serve the story. And in this case, I cared very deeply about the story because it was a story of my friend. And so I wanted to make sure that every part of it, the lighting, the wardrobe, the music, the animation was all there in purpose to be gentle and to celebrate her story.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah, I was going to ask if either of you had a favorite part that you did while filming the piece, or just a favorite line even, Divana, that I'm sure that's like difficult to choose, but.
I don't know that I have a favorite line, but one of the, I would say my favorite part of the film, and especially in the making of it, was getting to run around a beautiful botanical garden in a Christian Siriano dress. That was a dream come true. That day we were literally running around this incredible conservatory in upstate New York in this giant ball gown, and there's like Diana Ross Love Hangover blasting in the background. That is something of pure dream. So that's definitely a favorite memory. And especially because the wardrobe was a whole other kerfuffle in the making of this film. The dress was a triumph.
Yes, and that was my favorite part too, because she put on a show and we all got to watch, and she literally was weaving in and out of the shrubbery. She was picking up flowers, she was laying down. I mean, it went on for probably 5 minutes of her running through all of these flowers and the Steadicam just like chasing her. And so that was incredible. That was a show, and didn't have to pay for it. I mean, we did. But
the people at the garden didn't have to pay for it.
I would have paid a lot of money, much more money for. It was beautiful, and it was just a party. And she's just such a gorgeous dancer. I've known that for 11 years at this point. I've watched her dancing, and I'm just the biggest fan ever. And so, yeah, we got our own private performance, and that was the point. It was the best. It was the best. I'm just going to watch that footage again.
That's so like wholesome. You guys talked about the wardrobe.
I mean, the Christian Siriano dress. I saw that. I texted it to her. And we're like, we don't care if it doesn't fit. We don't care, whatever. It's going to work. We're going to put you in this. And in the end, I mean, it just looks so gorgeous.
Yeah.
It needed to be that dress.
Absolutely. Especially because of the final shot, the different color dresses. Every time I see that moment, it reminds me of the fairies in Sleeping Beauty.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a new Sleeping Beauty. You need to start it.
The wardrobe was something that was definitely noticeable, from the white dresses to the colorful dresses. This next question is sort of going to be off topic. I was going to ask if there was like a song that resonates with you, or maybe brings back memories. You brought up Diana Ross, mm-hmm. like playing in the back as you're running. I don't know if maybe, or if there was like a song from the soundtrack to it. I don't know if.
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. Because when I was like, when this idea was vibrating in my head before I even spoke to Susie about it, and what ended up being the music inspirations that I communicated to her, and we turned into the music that is in the film, it was pretty much two songs that I was hearing over and over in my head. One, Diana Ross Love Hangover. Two, there's a band from the disco era called Silvetti. They have a song called Spring Affair. Both of them are, third one. Love Unlimited, the love theme. It's like the most famous disco song of all time with the violins. That one. I knew, and it's also how we landed on Flowers. In my head, this was a spring affair. In my head, this sounded like flowers blossoming open and violins announcing the arrival of a goddess. So, and especially coming from ballroom, Diana Ross's Love Hangover is like one of the top five most played songs ever at a ball. So I wanted to introduce those like disco themes and sounds that were reminiscent of this romance that is sometimes forgotten in disco. Because disco, you hear like that thump, thump, thump sometimes, or you hear other sounds, but people forget how important violins were in that time.
Amazing answer. Oh my gosh, I just need to clap for that. Okay, yeah, so thank you, Diovanna, for that answer of the little soundtrack question. But Susan, do you have anything you want to add that maybe reminds you of, I don't know, filming or...
It would be the same, because yeah, that's what she shared with me. That was kind of our North Star through the whole entire thing. So yes, constantly listening to that too.
I know you both spoke about how you sort of got started in your own different like artistic journeys, but I was gonna ask if there was a sort of like core memory of how you knew, like how you knew that you were going to take those things on and actually like do them.
Like I said, I've been dancing, writing, and making visual art since I was a very, very small child. And I don't ever remember a moment in my life in which I did not want to do those things. There was never really any other option for me. I think in poetry. I must dance when I get up, otherwise I will be a very unhappy person. Art is something that I have to make, otherwise I will go insane just trying to do something with my hands. And so I think art making, creating is an imperative for me. I consider it to be an integral part of my own spirituality. So the converting of it over into a job or something that I do was really just another natural step in that, you know, everybody wants to try and live as an artist. I think we're in that process. This is another step in doing so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was born with that red beret on my head. So I knew I had to be an artist. That or I had to be French. And unfortunately I was not born as a French person. So, sorry to stereotype French people, berets. But anyway, I just knew that I had to be an artist since I was a little kid. I loved to dance. I wanted to grow up and be Britney Spears. And unfortunately, that didn't happen for me. I'm still waiting every morning when I wake up for that to be my dream. But for me with filmmaking, it made sense with my background in dance with like choreography. And then I always was a fine artist and I acted as well. And so it just kind of felt like I'm taking the choreography, I'm turning it into blocking, I'm taking my fine art skills and I'm turning it into art direction in the way that I'm looking at color on screen. I'm taking my acting and that's how I'm communicating with my actors. And so it made sense. There was a very poetic moment in college. We both went to the Savannah College of Art and Design. That's where we met. And they used to show films on like the original 35 millimeter film, which I'm a huge fan of. I love film. And they would project it onto this big screen in this theater. And they were showing In the Heat of the Night. And it's such a powerful film to begin with. And I just will never forget at one point, the sound got out of sync with the picture. And there was just this stillness in the theater, the anticipation of like, we're with you. And it felt like live theater to me. And that was the moment where I was like, I want to be a filmmaker, because there are moments like this that exist where even if the sound is out of sync, even if something technically goes wrong, or that you can still be totally present with this, and that can exist when you're so separate from something. This has been filmed years and years prior. You don't know any of these people, but you can connect so deeply and be patient with it. And so that was a moment for me, really. Very long-winded answer.
No, amazing.
Red Berets and Britney Spears and Sydney Poitier, but like, here we go.
So many different factors, but you both came out of the womb ready to be artists, I guess.
Yes.
Yes, essentially. So you met in New York. I was going to ask, I guess, how your surroundings sort of like pushed, like affected the making of this, like maybe people that surrounded you.
I would say that location definitely influenced the making of the film, and that a large portion of the film, the majority of it, is shot in this beautiful conservatory in upstate. That location, like, it's really a core part of the film. So finding that so close to where we both live was excellent, like, ace in our back pocket. I don't know, like, I have a deep connection to the history and the communities of New York, just being in part of ballroom. And even though I'm not originally from here, my mother's half of the family is from here. So I've been up here back and forth my whole life. I don't know that New York itself inspired me or influenced me in what was going on in my mind in making this, but definitely like that garden was just so perfect.
Mm-hmm. And also we caught it at the very end of the season. Mm-hmm. When we shot it, it was like the 2 weeks after everything was dead. So we caught it just in time, which actually just symbolically, I'm going to be that person and talk about how it was very transitional. It's, you mm-hmm. know, the garden is transitioning into its next chapter. And so with our film too, and I know that we've talked about this, like the different seasons of your life and your projects and how things are in its winter and then they evolve into being in their springs. And so even with the garden itself, it was in a moment of growing to be something else.
And thank you both so much for speaking with me and your amazing answers. Both have like any final words that you would like to add to be aired for Vancouver?
Sure, yeah. You know, you can follow me everywhere on La Diovanna, LADIOVANNA. Thank you in advance for your support of this film. Thank you, Kiana, for, you know, wanting to speak to us today, for your impeccable questions, for your support of the film. And yeah, I hope everybody that sees this, hears this, really is touched by the film. I hope you take something away from it. And, you know, maybe we'll meet sometime in a ball in New York.
Mm. That's perfect. That's the way it needs to end. I think the last thing that I would say is just thank you again to our whole team that helped in creating this film. Thank you. Hopefully you come out of this and you have a smile on your face and you feel like dancing.
Do you like movies? What about getting free tickets to them? The Vancouver Queer Film Festival is happening August 11th to August 21st. CJSF wants to give you free tickets to go watch the movie Sirens, a movie about the first all-women heavy thrash metal band in the Middle East. We're giving away 20 digital passes for a screening on August 11th and 4 in-person passes for August 16th. There are two ways to enter. Go to the CJSF radio Instagram and tag a friend in the ticket giveaway post, or send an email to cjsf_outreach@sfu.ca. indicating if you'd prefer a digital or in-person screening by August 9th. So, if you want to enter to win a free movie ticket to the Vancouver Queer Film Festival, send an email to cjsf_outreach@sfu.ca or tag a friend in the CJSF ticket giveaway post on Instagram by August 9th.
I'll spell this whole thing out.
Two-Faced by Megamall, great local act. Their new record, Escape from Lizard City, is out now. Before that, you heard an interview conducted by Kiana Mortensen, CJSF Summer Hire, with Susan O'Brien about the film When We Arrive as Flowers. Yeah, go check out the Vancouver Queer Film Festival. Also, Diavana LaBea was in that interview. Go check out the Vancouver Film Queer Film Festival going on now, starts today. And yeah, that's about it. We have 5 minutes left in the hour, and the music I want to play you to take you out of here is 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So instead of just continuing to talk and lather on, I'm going to give you a quick preview of a show coming up later today, Free Voices, and then you're going to hear Anomaly featuring Shad Generations to take us to the top of the hour when Democracy Now! Will be here. So thanks for hanging out with me this hour. And I'll see you soon. Enjoy Anomaly.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors, and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Where I'm at, looking back, I used to rap about the future, and it's weird how it's here now, and how we'll soon disappear. All our hopes, fears, and smoke and mirrors, and sincere doubts. In a few years, we'll just be dust and cleared out. But for a minute, we assist the transition, give a hand and then loosen our grip, expand the vision past Instagram pics to witness anguish and give a damn and resist the ambition to just trick and scam systems. Is it spitting, man? Let's spit. Uplifting fam, sick as transcripts written since the Sanskrit languages, simply because the fans of the kid demand different. I'm blessed. Yes, yes. Long as we're granted the chance to keep advancing, no stress. Be blessed. As you're standing on this planet, you already your champion. Bless, yes, yes. Long as you're granted the chance to keep advancing, don't stress. Bless, yes, yes. Long as you're standing on this planet, you're already your champion. Bless. Break it down. Best to ever. Wander on the stage, namaste. My Rwanda made style is nonpareil. Brought up raised between Ronald Reagan and Obama's day. The genres, hey, Raekwon to Wayne on them drama tapes. I just synthesize my idols and I drop like bombs away. Lob grenades on the page. Don't want my songs on a playlist unless it's with the best. Don McLean, Bonnie Raitt, Chaka Khan from the 80s, maybe Lady Marmalade. Andalay, spitting Spanish, flexing French and on a play. Play the fest in Montreux and Montreal and Monterey. Then I'm on a plane, gone away to where my mama stayed. On a German airliner, reclining like Duncan Shane. Headliner, all the hotels trying to accommodate. Compensated cause my contribution's far from commonplace. I belong with the modern greats. How I conversate bare talent, showing out like thongs and lingerie. That's blessed. Yes, yes. Long as you're granted the chance to keep advancing, don't stress. Bless. Yes, yes. Long as you're standing on this planet, you're already your champion. Bless. Prayer and meditation. To try to stay aware of the snares they set in place and bring care and dedication. To repair our generation's inherited devastation. Despair and medication. Ric Flair and Gary Payton and our parents' separations. We were brought up buried in a basement. It's lair, just like America the Great and a Terror, sharing space in the same precarious nation. I was young and dreaming of love, like where's the demonstration? Like who got next?
Who got next?
We got next.
to be blessed.